Lekuta Siches, Chelek Tazayin, Parsha Mishpatim, Siche Gimel. In sein Pirush auf dem Pasuk, Ki Yignev Ish Shoyre Seh V'Tvachay Amacharei, Rashi's commentary on the Pasuk that says, if a person will steal an ox or a sheep, and he will shecht it or sell it, Chamisha Boki Yishalom Tachas Asher, he has to pay back five times the amount of the ox if he stole the ox, and four times a sheep if he did it to a sheep. So bring Rashi up. Rashi there says, he gives two reasons why the payment for an ox is more than the payment of a sheep. As the pasuk says, five times by an ox, four times as much by a sheep. He gives two reasons. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Chas hamakom al kvodim shel briyos, the Hashem was considerate of the honor of the people. Shoyer shehilech beraglav, an ox that walks on its own feet, v'lein is baza by haganav, and therefore l'noisai al kseifei, and the thief is not embarrassed, shamed by the fact that he has to carry it on his shoulder, mishalom hey, therefore he pays five times the amount. A lamb, a sheep that he has to carry on his own shoulder, so he becomes ashamed by the fact that he has to carry it, mishalom dalid, he has to pay only four times as much, since he already suffered the shame. Amar Rab Meir, that's one reason. Rab Meir said, boy or a kamag gadol keicha shel malacha, come and see how great is the power, the importance of work. Shoyer shebitloy memalachta, an ox which he caused to stop working, an ox works and he didn't allow him to work because he stole him, mishalom hey, he has to pay five times as much as he's worth. Se shalei bitloy memalachta, a lamb which he did not interrupt from his work, dalid, he only has to pay four times as much. So we have to understand about this Rashi. First of all, Favos Neitik Zich Rashi in Tzvei Taimim. Why does Rashi have to give two reasons why the ox is more a greater penalty than the sheep? Number two, that we have to understand, Begiret Fil Mol, as we spoke many times, is Rashi Matik Dem Nomah from Balamemre, what Rashi quotes the person who said whatever it is that he's saying, Nor Dan Vendos Gita Taisus Bir in Zayn Pirush. Only if the name somehow adds something to understanding the commentary. In our case, what does it add to our understanding of the matter by telling us that it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that said one reason and Rabbi Meir who said the other reason? Number three, the Fumvas Rashi Zogdam Loshin Omer Rabbi Meir, Onishu Rabbi Meir Omer, the fact that Rashi says it in this way, said Rab Meir, and he doesn't say, however, Rab Meir says, which when you reverse the Rab Meir before Omer, it means that he's arguing on the previous comment. When you say Omer Rab Meir, it means Rab Meir said, it means that he agrees with it, he only adds to it. So in this case, Rashi says Omer Rab Meir as if he agrees to what was said earlier. So we have to understand why he says it that way, especially that in most places where these two opinions are listed, is the girsa, it's actually written Omar Rav in the opposite, that he, as if he's arguing back, as the two argue. This one said, and the other one argues about it. Asignan for machloik is a language which connotes that he argues with the previous comment. And Rashi chooses the second version, which is as by Beidadei as it states Amarab, that in both opinions, by regards to both opinions, says Amarab as if they agree about what the previous one said. Only he adds another comment. Is moven as Rashi nemt nisht on al derech hapshat. So from the fact that he writes it as if they're not arguing, it's obvious that Rashi accepts, at least in the context of pshat, as is the apluk that Svishin say that there is some sort of a disagreement. They're both saying different things. However, nor mar omer chado, mar omer chado v'loy pligi. One says one thing, the other one says another thing, but they're not arguing. They don't argue with each other. They both agree with what each one is saying. However, he has something more to say. Is nishmuven, so we have to understand lechayda zayin Rabbi Yechon Mezakeh and Rabbi Meir mechulik in zayir taimim, because it seems that Rabbi Yechon Mezakeh and Rabbi Meir argue about the reason that they give for why the ox pays more than the sheep. Because they're two different concepts altogether. Nochmer, and even more so, as metrach zecharayin in the tzvei time, and when you think a little deeper into the two reasons that they give, zetman as zayin nishvois fashidin, that we see that they're not only different reasons, nor oich hafchi is dike time, but they're actually contrary explanations to the reasoning. How so? Leuten tam for Rabbi Yechon Mezakeh kumtois, according to the reason of Rabbi Yechon Mezakeh, it comes out as the knas far utvachayim achare, that the punishment, the penalty that the Torah gives for shechting or selling, dav zayin tashlum chamisha, should really be five times what the value of the animal. Seifer asher and seifer aseh, both for an ox and for a sheep. Nor sevet arop ginum and emol tashlum by seh. However, in the case of the lamb, the Torah deducts one of those not five times as much and makes him pay only four times as much. As Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh says, that because he was already suffered some of the shame because he had to carry the lamb, therefore the Torah takes off one of those payments and he only has to pay four times as much. But essentially, he should have been paying five, both for the ox and for the lamb. However, because of the shame, one is deducted. But on the other hand, when we talk about the Rav Meir's opinion, it comes out as the knas be'etzim is arba, that the penalty that the Torah had in mind is only four. Nor be'asher vert zugegeb noch ein mol tashlumim, but by an ox, the Torah adds another times the value. Because he prevented the ox from doing its work. So in other words, in essence, it should have been four. But because he also prevented him from doing his work, so therefore by an ox he has to pay an additional amount. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh, the initial amount is really five, and one is deducted for the other guy, for the lamb. According to Rabbi Meir, it comes out that the initial amount is only four, and a one time is added by the ox for the reason that he gives. So in other words, not only are they saying different reasons, but they're saying reasons which give a completely different conclusion to what is really the penalty that is being applied by the Torah. How could you say that they're not arguing? Amar Rab Yechon Mezakeh, Amar Rab Meir, by saying Amar Rab before both names in order to say that they're not really arguing, they're really agreeing with each other. B'shas is da, chiluk tzvishin de tzvei deis, when there is a difference between the two opinions in the kamos from the chi of aknas, in the very amount that the Torah seems to levy against them for the penalty, farzich ven nish de tam tzugeb arop nemen, if not for the reason that they each one gives for either deducting one in the case of the seh or by adding one in the case of the ox. Nochatmiya is if a seder from the 2 days from Pirush Rashi. Another question that could be asked is in the order in which Rashi gives these two opinions. In the Ertev u'severin gebrach the 2 time, and in the other places where these two reasons are brought from Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh and Rav Meir, Shteit Friya Das Rav Meir, it first records Rav Meir's opinion, the Noch Das Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh, and then it goes to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh, a seder faker di in Pirush Rashi, which is the opposite order of the way Rashi presents it. Why then does Rashi reverse the order and first records the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh? And it would seem that one could answer this question at least. And this answer would be based on the explanation that was given just now. From the 2 days about the two opinions, as loit Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh is the ikat nas chamisha. We said that according to Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh, the initial amount that the Torah had in mind is five. Only that he took off one for the set. Loit Rabbi Meir, however, according to Rabbi Meir, the amount that the Torah has in mind is five, four for the penalty, but adds one by the ox. So based on this explanation, we can say this: V'bal das the Torah in Torah states free chamisha bakar. Since the Torah first says in the pasuk that you have to pay five oxen in payment of that one ox that you stole and shechter or sold, and then the Torah goes to the four for the sheep, is the seichel machriya to zogen. So therefore, it would seem logical as zum ershen stel the Torah dem ikedik in schum aknas, that first the Torah is giving the main, the initial penalty that it had in mind, which is five for the ox, chamisha bakar. And then it goes down to the lamb, to the sheep, kumt knas. Now we talk about those sheep. The Torah gives a lesser amount, which for a certain reason, namely that he already was shamed by having to carry the lamb. So therefore, it comes out according to this lefiza as the shita for Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai is mer behesem shushmos akosov, that Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai's opinion seems to fit more with the way the pasuk presents it, that it starts with five and then goes down to four for the by the lamb for whatever reason. So that is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai says. So Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai's reasoning seems to fit into the pasuk better. Is b'meila movement for us Rashi v'sinyani is the pshutish l'mikra. Therefore, it's quite understood why Rashi, whose primary interest is pshutish l'mikra, is magdim than tam for Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai, far than tam for Rabbi Meir. Why he puts Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai before Rabbi Meir? Because that fits better into the way the psukim read. Madafa b'fashteim, but still we have to understand oibazay if this is the case. Hatach Rashi gedaf den ganzen mashmizayn in tam for Rabbi Meir. Then Rashi shouldn't have mentioned Rabbi Meir's opinion altogether, since Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai fits better with the pshutish l'mikra. Why doesn't he just give that one and then leave it at that? When bringing nor dem tam for Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai, should have brought only the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai. So the beer and them, the explanation is, oib mizol zogn as the iket hashlumi aknas is chamisha. If you want to say that the real amount that the Torah had in mind was five. And those was by set salted the ganav blaze arba, and the reason that by a lamb he only pays five, if four is tzulib tam, tzulib tam hoilvin is bazabay, is only for the reason that since he already suffered some shame, and that's why he only has to pay four. Fadat zichas bara, then it needs another question needs to be asked, which is, emes tak as the ganav kumt op achelik von sein einish de mitvos nis bazabay, it may be true that the thief already suffered some shame, and therefore part of his punishment was paid through shame. Wie kann das aber verbeiten dem Schum für das Schlumme Kessel, was der Nigner da bekommen? But how does the person, the victim, from whom it was stolen, how does he gain from the fact that the thief already suffered some of the shame, and therefore he's only going to get four? Why should he only get four just because the thief suffered some shame? Was hat der Ganev, the Nignev, the Fun, was the Ganev is Nisbazabay? What does he have? What does the victim have from the fact that the thief already had some shame, and that therefore he should get only less payment? The Far bringt Rashi, dem Tam, was Rav Meir sagt. That's why Rashi also goes to the explanation of Rav Meir. As Shur Shabitlim Malachtai, that since by the ox he caused him to refrain from work, and therefore according to this reasoning the victim himself, the Torah only saw that he should get four times as much as was stolen from him, nor by shoyer, only that by an ox, since there is an additional amount which the theft caused the victim to suffer, that now his ox can't work, bitlim imalachtei, but mamaisig ben in tashlumet. That's why in that particular case, by the ox, it added one amount to the victim. So in other words, by the lamb, according to this reasoning, by the sheep, the victim is not suffering anything. He should only get four times. By the ox, he has to get an additional time because he also suffered a greater loss because the ox couldn't work. In other words, that's how he answers that question which is left by the pshat that Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai gave. Das meint, dass Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai und Rabbi Meir seine nicht mechulik in dem Kamos von Iker HaKnas. So in other words, seeing it this way, it means that Rashi sees it as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Meir are not really arguing about what is the primary amount. What does that mean? Nor Zayared Zayne Litzdodim. They are addressing two separate issues when they give their two different reasonings. As Venzich Vengvelchatzad as Retzich. It depends who you're talking about, what issue we're discussing. Then sahandelt sich wegen dem Avle von dem Ganev, when you look at the Knas as something which is being a penalty levied against the thief because of what he did, and therefore how much should he suffer for having done such a terrible thing? Is es vert an einish von Chamisha? When you look at the Ganev, at the thief, he's worthy that he should have to pay five times as much as what he stole because of the terrible thing that he did. When you look at it as a penalty against the terrible act of the thief. Nor by seh, rechem ezich mitzayim bezoyin. But since by a lamb he already had some shame because he had to carry it. Umenem tefara runtef in zayin oynish. And therefore he has to suffer only a little less because he already suffered enough. Or at least not enough, but somewhat. So we see we take off from the five and we make it only four. That's only when you look at the thief. When you're looking at this penalty as something which is directed at the thief for his crime that he did. But then there's another way of looking at it. Here is a victim who has to be compensated. So when you look at it from compensation for the victim, how much he suffered and how much he should be repaid is the knas arba. When we look at it that way, then the penalty should really only be four. Nor by a shoyr is da umenotes genumen echeshben dem zugab shodem von nignav. But by an ox there is an additional amount that he suffered, the victim, and therefore that's taken into consideration as well. And that is that the ox was not able to work on the far and therefore the main he really should be compensated only for, but because the ox also he wasn't able to work with it, so therefore he gets an additional amount to compensate him for his loss. Thus haste, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai read vidas is mitzadim ganef. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees the penalty as being directed at the thief for the terrible thing that he did. It's a penalty to him. Rabbi Meir mitzadim nignav. Rabbi Meir looks at it as compensation for the victim and therefore sees it as only four, unless in the case of the ox where it's five. Loi dem kumtzu az boref avos Rashi is makdim the day from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai for Rabbi Meir's day, and this adds an explanation to why Rashi first puts Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's opinion before Rabbi Meir's. For amazoi fitzach durch dem seder from the tashlumen, because that's how the order of payment, that's how it actually happens. Der onaybis das was the ganef revet mechuyev umbatzol the tashlumen. It starts with the court levying a penalty against the ganef, against the thief, and he has to pay. And therefore the victim is compensated. So it starts with the thief paying, and therefore the victim is compensated. And that's why Rashi first puts the opinion of Yochanan Zakkai, which is addressing this matter as something, a penalty placed against the thief. He's the focus of this whole penalty. And then he goes to the reasoning of Rabbi Meir in Shaychus Nignav, who sees it as a compensation for the victim, and that's how it actually happens. The thief has to pay it, at which point the victim is compensated. And this also explains was in the Torah is mer mudgish as the ike knas is chamisha, why the Torah seems to be making a bigger issue of the five. There's more of an emphasis on the five. Zayindik muktam b'kosa, because that's what the pasuk starts with, five for the ox, and then goes down to four for the lamb, as he explained before. While the Torah is sum alam eshen um beike kaveya nishvifel subakum der nigne, because the Torah is looking at it not so much as how much the victim will be compensated, but rather what will happen to the thief. Vifel is davzayn da yishalim fundem ganef, how much the ganav has to pay, and that's actually how the Torah says. Chamisha pam yishalem, he has to pay five times. The Torah is looking at it from the perspective of the ganav, that this is a penalty levied against the ganav, talks about the payment that the thief has to pay, and therefore starts with five, because from that perspective, the ganav has to pay five. That's the main penalty. As a result of that, of course, the victim is compensated, but the Torah almost doesn't talk about that at all. It doesn't even address the compensation that will happen for the victim. Hey, wie gesagt früher, as we mentioned before, was Rashi bringt der Rabbe Pirushoi euch den Namen von den Balei HaMemres, the fact that Rashi also quotes the names of the people that said these two comments, as das ist zu lieb Teisus Bir in Zeim Pirush, that this is in order to add explanation and understanding to the comments. So we have to, what does it mean in our case? How do the names add to the understanding? Das ist Rabbi Yechon HaMezake ist Madrish dem Knas, wie das ist mit Zadim Ganef, the reason that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai emphasizes the penalty as it's applied to the thief, and therefore he's machmir, he says that it's adika knas is chamisha, therefore to him the main penalty is five, and it can be reduced in a certain case. And Rabbi Meir redvek knas v'shech tzunigda, Rabbi Meir talks about the penalty as it is seen from the compensation for the victim. One that is may kill in them, and therefore he is more lenient, as the ikar knas is blaze arba, that the main penalty is only four, and in a certain case by the ox it's going to be increased to five. Is das behesem to say yeshitu b'makomachad? This goes along with their opinion elsewhere. Where is that in Masechta Baba Kama? When azoy oich in Tanchuma. In the Gemara and Baba Kama, as well as Tanchuma, Ved Gebrach, the Oven the Mount of Memris from Rabbi Yechon Mazak and Rabbi Meir, Behemshech zu Zeir and Memris, Benegeyed, Dem Tam Achil Tzish Nagadav and Nagazlan. Over there in the Gemara, this discussion, this difference of opinion between Rabbi Yechon Mazak and Rabbi Meir is brought as a follow up to something else that they said. They had two different opinions, two different explanations about why the Torah makes a difference between a thief, which means somebody who steals surreptitiously, and a gazlan, which means a robber, somebody does it in open daylight. He points a gun at your face and he says, give me your money. He's not afraid of you. A thief sneaks into your house. He doesn't want you to see who he is. So the Torah says that somebody that's a ganav that does it surreptitiously has to pay back double. A gazlan only has to return the thing that he stole. Why is there a difference? As he says inside, a ganav daftzon kefil, a thief has to pay double, dalad veheb am tzicha mechira, or four or five times if he actually shechted it or sold it. When a gazlan alamo blazdem keren, a gazlan, a robber, only has to pay back what he stole. So what does the Gemara say? Shol the Talmid of Rabbi Yechon HaMezakai. The students asked Rabbi Yechon HaMezakai, Mipnei Maich Mira Torah Beganav Yesem Begazlan. What's the reason that the Torah was more strict with a thief more than a robber? Amalei, so he said to them, Ze Hishva Kovid Eved LeKovid Kainai. This one, the thief, he compared the honor of the servant to the honor of the master, meaning the servant is people, the master is Hashem. So he's afraid of the people, or the opposite actually. This one, the robber, he compared the honor of the servant to the honor of the master. He's not afraid of Hashem, he's not afraid of the people either. He does his dirty work in front of everybody. Whereas the thief, he doesn't even compare the honor of the servant to the honor of the master. Hashem, he's not afraid of. The people, the servant, he's afraid of. He does it surreptitiously. Kaviyochol, it's as if, to say, he made it as if the eye of Hashem down here is not able to see, as if Hashem is not able to see what's going on down here in this world. And the ear of Hashem in this world, as if he can't hear what's happening. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, and he brings the Rav Dry psukim, and he quotes three different psukim to show this point, which will later be discussed. Amar Rav Meir, so Rav Meir said, he said a different reasoning. Mashal 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 Gamliel. They gave a mashal for this, a parable for this from Rav Gamliel. Lama Adava Daimer, what can this be compared to? Lebeiz b'nei Adam, to two people. Shehoyu be'ir, two people that lived in the city, v'asu mishta, and each one made a party. Echad zimin is b'nei ya'ir, v'lei zimin is b'nei ha'melech. One invited the people of the city, but he didn't invite the princes, the sons of the king. V'echad lei zimin is b'nei ya'ir, v'lei zimin is b'nei ha'melech. The other one did not invite neither the king nor anybody else. Eizem hem anshe merubah, which one would you say should be punished more? Obviously the one that invited everybody else except for the king's children. If he doesn't invite anybody, okay, so he didn't invite anybody, he didn't invite his king's children, but if he invited everybody except for them, that's worse. And that's how he explains the difference between a thief and a robber, that the robber didn't invite anybody, he doesn't care about anyone, he's brazen and he does it in front of everybody's face. But the one who invited everybody, in other words, everybody he's afraid of, the only one that he's not afraid of is Hashem himself, so that's worse than the other, than not inviting anybody. The Kama v'kama diyukam b'zeh, so there are a number of questions that have to be asked about this. V'fashtandik oich from the bir lahalon, as can be understood also from the explanation that will soon be given. The Unterschied zwischen Rab Meir's Moshul and the Hezbe for Rabbi Yechon HaMazakai is moving in Pashtus. The difference between the Moshul that Rab Meir gave and the explanation that Rabbi Yechon HaMazakai said can be understood in the following way. In Rabbi Yechon HaMazakai's Werter is Mudgish, das was bein gane fell de Meir for the Meibishn. He emphasizes the fact that the thief is not afraid of Hashem. He's afraid of the people, but he's not afraid of Hashem. He is less afraid of Hashem because he knows that Hashem sees him, and yet he does it. He wouldn't do it if the people would see him, so he's less afraid of Hashem than of the people. And therefore that expresses the terrible attitude that he has, as Rabbi Yochanan concludes, it's as if he decided that Hashem's eye does not work, function down here, and Hashem's ear does not function down here. Abalei devir Rab Meir, according to Rab Meir, is the hadgosha of them was the ganev to an example of beseisa, that the thief who does it surreptitiously, vaystarois aggressor and must covet far a nignev, that what he's emphasizing is that he seems to be giving more honor to the people. He's more concerned about what the people will think of him than what Hashem thinks of him. He seems to be more concerned and put more importance to what the people think of him than what Hashem thinks of him. So in other words, he puts the people on a higher pedestal than he puts Hashem. And that's what Rab Meir is emphasizing. On Bedugma v'im Mashal, similar to what he says in his parable, as the Avla b'shteit in them was, that the problem in that story is in the fact that Zimin is Bnei Ya'ir, that he invited the people, he put them on, he gave them more importance in the Tzaydvus Lei Zimin is Bnei HaMelech, while he did not invite the children of the king. So in other words, the issue is that he put more importance on what the people think than on what Hashem thinks. Rabbi Yechon HaMazakai is looking more at what the thief is. It's as if he doesn't care that Hashem sees him. It's as if he thinks that Hashem doesn't hear him and doesn't see him. In other words, to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is seeing the focus of the ganef on Hashem, how he diminishes Hashem. The Rabbi Meir sees it as he is elevating the people higher than, in other words, not that about Hashem, but that he's putting too much importance on people. And in fact, they're not arguing with each other, Rabbi Yechon HaMazakai and Rabbi Meir, and this is muchach from the state Omar Rabbi Meir, or Nish Rabbi Meir Omar, as in fact is obvious from the fact the way The Gemara says Omar Reb Meir. He doesn't say Reb Meir Omer. Reb Meir argues with Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. He doesn't argue. They're both agreeing, but they're talking from two different perspectives, as we explained before about the other thing. Nor yet the Shtel Tzichop of an ander and Kuda. Each one is focusing on another point. When in the Hasbara from the Minyan, in how he explains the problem that is happening because the Ganav does what he does, or the Gazlan does what he does. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is mitar da avla be'ikir vi esiz mitzadam ganef. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai focuses on what he is doing, under loy hishve kovet eved lekovet kainay, that the ganef did not give equal importance to the servant as to the master. What he means by the servant over here is the victim that he's victimizing, and that he's afraid of him. Is so when he says that, the reason that he brings that up, which seems to be almost saying the same thing as Reb Meir, also drawing the comparison between the way he's treating Hashem and treating the people. But that's not the main point of what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying. Is Hagdomet zum Mechir sein, as the Ganav is Kofer in the Hashgacha von Eibishten. He brings this only as a way of demonstrating that what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees as the main problem, which is that the Ganav does not recognize that Hashem is looking at him, that Hashem sees him. And the way he says it, Asa Ayin Shalmata, that he so to speak said that the eye of Hashem does not function down here, and that's the real problem, not the part in which he compares the way he sees the servant and he sees the master is only to lead to this point, which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees as the main point. He doesn't recognize that Hashem sees him. On the other hand, when we talk about Rameir, Nemtin Cheshben, he also takes into consideration Eichdem Tzat from the Nignav. He's looking, not only, also, he is looking at the way it's seen from the perspective of the victim. When the Fun Kumtaro is the Maskona, as the Ganav Git Kovet Zum Nignav, and therefore to him, to Rameir, what the problem is, that he's putting the victim or the people on a higher pedestal than Hashem. He's elevating them to a degree which they don't need, that they don't deserve to be elevated. To a level where he doesn't even see Hashem on that level. So the problem is that he's putting too much emphasis, too much importance on the people down here. Und das ist behesem zu unser Indien, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is madgish. So in other words, very much in accordance to the way we saw our issue about the four and the five, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai looks at it from the perspective that we're focusing on the ganav and what his problem is. Rabbi Meir says we're looking at the victim, we look at it on the perspective of the victim, and that's why he says that it's only four unless there is a reason to put it to five. So it very much works, dovetails together with the way they see the difference between a ganav and a gazlan. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees it from the perspective of the ganav, the person perpetrating the crime, and Rabbi Meir looks at it from the perspective more of the person to whom it's being done. In this case, too, with the four and the five, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees it more from a punishment against the ganav, and Rabbi Meir sees it more as how do we compensate the thief? Sorry, the victim. Vav. Ater chilat tishin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Meir in the asbara favasach mira teira beganav yesim begazlan. So this difference between the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Meir see it in their explanation of why the teira is more. Gives a greater penalty to the thief, to the surreptitious thief, than to the robber. Gitzav Ashtein, Nishnor Favos Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Red Veng Dem Ganav Rameh Veng Dem Nignav, it's not just about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees it from the perspective of the Ganav, how it applies to the Ganav, and Rameh sees it more from the side of the Nignav. euch dem Tam achilik zwischen Ganev und Nignem beshechus zu dem Chiyuv von Ikir HaKnas. But it also explains why they see what the main amount that the Torah attributes to the case in which you shechted or stole, whether it's 4 or 5. Loit Rabbi Yechonim Azak as the Ikir Avle Bashteit inim Ganev's Chesorin Emuna in the Ashgach of Neivish. According to Rabbi Yechonim Azak, who sees the problem as the Ganev has a lack of faith in that Hashem can actually see what he's doing. That he pretends as if the eye of Hashem doesn't work down here. Daf b'meila oiskumen as oich benegedim knaz daf mechriya zayin dem chaymer achet mitzad haganev. So therefore, he also sees that the reason for the knas in regards to the penalty, what should set the amount of the penalty? What did the ganav do? What did the thief do? Lachain is the knas chamisha. Therefore, because he did such a serious thing that he pretended as if Hashem doesn't see it, therefore he deserves, you throw the book at him, you give him a serious knas 5. Abaloit she does ramei avasus madgish. As the chet funim ganav driktzuchois in zain hergish akovet klapedim nignav. But according to Reb Meir, who says that the problem of the ganav is that he elevates the people, the person, the victim, to too much of a purtimat, too high a pedestal, is does gufa anasinus tam anasinus mokem is ometzadim ganav's kovet batziyung tzadim nignav mekel zainim dat shlumi aganav tzum nignav. And therefore, that in itself, that he put the victim on a pedestal, is a reason that he already gave him the honor, even more honor than he should be given. So therefore, he's already done something for the victim. Now he only has to pay 4 times what the value is, because he's already elevated the victim by treating him with the respect that he's afraid of him and he doesn't want him to see him and so on. So therefore, you only have to put a penalty of 4, and that's what Rav Meir says, that the initial penalty is only 4. Zayin. Loit dem bir kumtoi. So based on this explanation, it comes out as mit demonen dem nemer from Rav Yechonim Zakkai and Rav Meir, that by mentioning who the different names are, is Rav Rashi blois oisen onsodait neufas boron esefes. Rashi is trying to point to a deeper, a greater explanation. Why it is that Rabbi Yechonim Zakkai sees it from the perspective as it applies to the ganef, when the far is the ikir aknas chamisha, which is the reason that it starts at 5. When the tzveiter, Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, vidosis mitzad anignev, he looks at it from the perspective of the one who is the victim. When ikir aknas is the far arba, and therefore it's only 4. In other words, by saying that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said this and Rabbi Meir said that, which points us to their explanation about the difference between a ganav and a gazlan, and how it works so well together with how they see the 4 and the 5. So it's basically that one is looking from the perspective of the ganav, one is looking from the nignav, the other one is looking at the perspective of the nignav, and therefore it explains better why he says that it should be 4, 5, and he says it should be 4. But it would be even more interesting to explain, as the mitzvahs Rashi is matig the nemen, that when Rashi tells us who the names are, bepirusha meinter zu meisav zayin bir oichen zayin razboros atzmam, it also adds to not only why these two different explanations fit, how they fit with previous explanations by Rabbi Yechonim Zakkai and Rabbi Meir, but also adds to understanding why they look at it that way. Das heißt, das was Rabbi Yechonim Zakkai sagt, das mahat memayit given in tashlumei aset zlim tam von loyevin is bazabai. In other words, that Rabbi Yechonim Zakkai, who says that it starts at 5, but we reduce it because the ganav already had some shame. Und das was Rabbi Meir nimmt on as zlim dem was bitlum malachtei. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir, who says that it starts at 4, and because we prevented the ox from doing his work, that's why it was increased to 5, is das toli in zeir shitva mokamachar. That is also explained by something that they said earlier, and that's the reason that Rashi gives their names. It's not just what we said before, but it's also it'll explain better why each one sees it differently about the penalty itself. So we'll understand this. We'll start with Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai, and to understand it, we'll first explain the questions that we asked before about the reasoning of Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai. Number one, Favos mach teira dem chilik in the tashlumet zwischen shayrin se norim mefal wegen tvachay macharik. So we have to ask the question: why is it that the Torah makes a difference between an ox and a lamb only if he sold it or he shechted it? L'chayre is the tamachil koil ben izbazabai. The reason that Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai gives that the reason that by a lamb it's less is because he was already suffered some shame. That happens immediately when he steals it, before he shechts it, before he sells it. When you steal the ox, there is no shame associated with it because he walks on his own 2 feet. When you steal a lamb, you suffer the shame because you have to carry it. So if that's the case, then there should be a difference in the penalty that is applied between an ox and a lamb, even if you didn't shecht it or sell it, just for stealing it. And the din is as Moshe Rabbeinu Shnayim Mishalim, whereas the Torah clearly states that if you only stole it, you didn't shecht it or sell it, then it's an equal penalty for an ox or a lamb, which is that you have to pay double. But if the reason that Rabbi Yechonim Zakkai said is because you suffered some shame when you sold the lamb, and therefore it should be reduced, so then why isn't it reduced when in the case of the double payment that you have to give? The same reasoning exists there. That's one question. Number two, b'zoyin is shayach dam v'dabayis do atzveiter. When suffer shame means when somebody else is seeing you, when somebody else sees you having to carry the lamb. Favem emevet v'shem, then when somebody sees you, you become embarrassed in front of that person. Hain vi pasta tzazong by gnevis haseh, how could you say when you steal something surreptitiously, the lamb surreptitiously, even his bazabai, how could you say he was ashamed by it? V'bald, since it's done surreptitiously, and nobody sees him carrying it, so what kind of shame does he suffer? Number three, why does Rashi introduce this by saying that the Torah, the Hashem, is concerned about the honor of the people? He doesn't have to give this introduction that Hashem is concerned about honor. He should just say an ox which walks on its own 2 feet, he doesn't suffer any shame, he gets to pay only he has to pay 5. A lamb which he had to carry and therefore was embarrassed, so therefore he only has to pay 4. Why does he have to give the introduction that the Hashem is concerned about the honor of the people? Number four, that we have to understand, if he does want to give that introduction, it would seem to be more fitting, especially in the context of Pshudushal Mikra, the Loshon Lo Degirsa in Tanchuma, the way the Tanchuma says it, Shechas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Afilo Al Ganef, that Hashem was concerned even for a thief. Hashem was considered about his honor. So why doesn't Rashi say that? V'bal the pasuk red dov v'ng aganef, since the pasuk is talking about a thief, it should have said that it's for a thief. Mashen gid loshem brias, but when you talk about brias, which means the created beings, this is the loshem in Pirush Rashi, the way Rashi says it, was meint nish zu metar zayin an ish pochus v'chayte. The word brias, the created beings, doesn't describe a person that is of a lower echelon. It's not a sinner. It just means a person of simple abilities. Rias means somebody who he's a created being. He doesn't have any special talents and so on. But it doesn't mean a person of a lowly status, like a ganav. A ganav geyetzabes is nor a tayer vasvaist of the heder amilus, but he is baume. It describes a person of simple abilities, but it doesn't describe a thief. So why does Rashi not use the word that the Medrash uses, which is that the Torah has concern even for a ganav? Why does he say for the ordinary created beings? Is the beer in that? So the explanation of all this is, emes takav b'shas haganev is nishtabam ganav ken b'zayin. It's true that when the thief steals it, he isn't embarrassed because nobody sees him. But emes tut the ganev b'seisiv gizak friyeh, because he does it surreptitiously, nobody sees him. However, b'shas mechapt obedim ganav, but when he gets caught, umebringt him in bezna, now he's dragged before the court. On all the visizich as erod gegambit and the baygetrogen himself safely, and now everybody knows that he stole this sheep and that he carried the sheep on his shoulders. Demult vet vetes farem abezoyin. Then it becomes an embarrassing situation. On the riber is ba'em the bezoyin norb oivs is given atvichel mechira, and therefore the shame only applies in the case where he shechts it or he sells it. And not if he simply stole it. Why is that? By geneva is dort nishto kein chilik vosarad gegambit. If he only stole it and he didn't shecht or sell it, then it makes no difference in the court case what exactly he stole. It's not important what he stole. If he stole a wallet or he stole a sheep or he stole an ox, the penalty would be equal. He would have to pay double what he stole. Nor vivul does his vet. The only matter of concern is what's the value of the object that he stole. Mefreknish does his akeli. We don't ask him if it's a utensil, or the raser, or the rasher, or whether it was a lamb or an ox. Nor vivul is the vet from the geneva. The issue in the trial would only revolve around what is the value of the thing, and that's how much he has to pay, double of that. Virashi schreibt später, as Rashi writes later, kol dover bechwal tashlumi keful, that everything is included in the penalty of having to pay double, whether it's a living thing or not, and so on. In other words, there's no difference about what he stole. We're not interested in what he stole. We're only interested in the value of what he stole. Only if he shechts it or sells it. As Rashi says, that the penalty of 4 or 5 times only applies in the case of a lamb or an ox and nothing else. B'shas mebrengt him to bezin. So therefore, in that case, when he's brought to court, mider onklage as tvoche imachari, with the accusation that he shechted or he sold the ox or the lamb, da mus klora rizgebracht werden. Over here, it already has to be clarified. It has to be brought out in court. Al as a hod gegambet, as said here, it has to be stated he stole a lamb, because it's important to how much he has to pay as a penalty. Nizbazaboy. So then, therefore, now everybody says, "Oh, he stole a lamb," and now you start picturing it, this thief walking around the streets with a lamb over his shoulder. So that is what brings the shame, because now it has to be brought out in court that he did steal a lamb. It wasn't just that he stole something and nobody cares what it was, as long as he pays back double. Here it becomes known that he stole a lamb, so he suffers the shame of everybody picturing him carrying this lamb through the streets, which explains why there's no reason to charge any less for a lamb, because nobody even pays attention to the fact that he stole a lamb. Only in the case of Dalet Vehei does it become a factor in the court case, and therefore everybody knows, and so on. Al peizeh zaben nishglatik, but according to this, it brings up another question. Bibal das de bezoyim b'shteit nishvos mezet emtrogen dem set. Since the shame that is brought to him is not because anybody actually sees him carrying a lamb, nor from the visions of the funla achas man, but only because people get to know what happened. Them and bring them ganav and bezin, because he was brought to court and it was brought up in court. Vi kumtes kumtman arapnem edum ganzem vert from the sets libazaklein and bezoyin. So then, nobody even sees him. It's just somebody picturing him doing it based on the transcript of the trial. So then, is it really worth that much? Is it really that much of a shame that somebody imagines him carrying the lamb, that you would actually diminish his penalty by a full value of the lamb? The Ribir is Rashi Magdim. That's why Rashi first introduces them onayv from the Rabbi Yechonim Zakkai. What Rabbi Yechonim Zakkai, how he introduced it, chasamakam al kvedish lobrius, that the Hashem was very concerned about the honor of the people. Hagam as meshuras adin volpen efshen nishgedafta ropnem and azayfel tzli bazaklein and bezoyin. That even though maybe it's true for such a small act, a shameful thing, because people just imagining it, that they didn't even see it, it wouldn't really be worth an entire value of the object to diminish it by that much. But Hashem is very concerned about the honor of the people. Rachmanus is a mekel, and because he has such concern about the person's shame, therefore he's going the length, he's going to a further length in order to diminish his penalty. And therefore diminishes the amount of the penalty even because of a small amount of shame. Rashi is explaining why such a far-fetched shame in somebody's mind, he's imagining it, is worth a full amount of a sheep. So Rashi says, yeah, that's because Hashem is very concerned about the honor of people. So based on this explanation, therefore it's not really about the fact that Hashem is concerned about the thief specifically. It's not about the thief. The Gears of Tanchuma, as the Tanchuma says it. And the Fad is Rashi Mishana, and that's why Rashi changes it to Ala Brias, because it isn't really about whether the Torah is concerned about the Ganef. It's about that the Torah is concerned about people and their shame. And therefore, even though it's not really worth an entire value of a sheep, but because of its great concern for people's honor, that's why the Torah diminished it by a full amount of a sheep. For Vibal, the Bezoyim Vert Esht in Bezden. Because since the Bezoyin, it's not about the Ganef, so to speak, is because the shame only comes about as a result of the court case. L'achaz man rav, after a long period has passed already. Noch de Geneva, after the thing was stolen. How do we know it was a long period? Siz given tavacha yemachari. After he stole it, he already had the opportunity to shechter it, to sell it. The nochad menem gechapt, and then they caught up with him. Then they finally caught, went to the Bezdin. Not always so easy to get an appointment with the Bezdin quickly. Gefunden Eidus, and then they found their witnesses. These things take time. So from the time that he stole it until it's actually being brought out in Bezdin that he stole the sheep, could be a long time has passed. When Nishnor Hatanishkain Fadins from the Geneva, and then as a result of this, it's a long time later, and it turns out that he didn't even gain anything from stealing it. And not only did he not gain anything, now he's going to have to lose four times the value of what he stole. Therefore, after such a long time, he's already caught. He has to pay four times as much. Certainly, he regrets what he did, without question. Is a shame weit von der richtige Ganef. Therefore, he's no longer even in the status of a Ganef. He probably already regrets it. Und der Fahr ist kein Hechech nicht von Danet, das Chasek HaShvorach HaFilu al Ganef. And therefore, not necessarily from here can you say that Hashem has Rachmanis even on a Ganef, because this guy is no longer a Ganef. He already is far from being a Ganef. So much time has passed, so many difficulties that came up because of this stupid act that he did, and he certainly regrets it. He's no longer even in the level of in the status of a ganef, and therefore the fact that Hashem has rachmanis on him doesn't necessarily mean that he would have rachmanis on a ganef while he's stealing. Only weeks later, a month later, whatever it is, after all that regret, now Hashem has rachmanis on him. Yudalef. But if there will be a specially gifted child, a student that will still ask, because in the end, how is it that the honor of the person is that important, that because of a small shame that he suffers in people's minds, that they're imagining him carrying a lamb, that therefore you should reduce his penalty by that much money? Still a question. But for Rashi, the kasha durch magdim sein, as od dem bir, ad gizok rabbi yechanan mezakai. Therefore Rashi says, in order to answer this question, answering it will be seen from the fact that Rabbi Yechanan mezakai is the one that said it. What is it about Rabbi Yechanan mezakai? The Gemara zokt. The Gemara tells us, Amru all of Rabbi Yechanan mezakai. They said about Rabbi Yechanan mezakai, Shleik dimei odom sholem me'oilem afilin ocher b'shuk. that nobody ever got to say hello to him before he said hello first. He always honored people by addressing them and greeting them before they had a chance to greet him. That's how important people were to him. Even non-Jews, he also always greeted them before they had an opportunity to greet him. Zet mendefun. So we see from this about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is kedem shel bris given azoy tayer, that by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai the honor of people was so important to him as lehigdem adam shalom oilam, that it never happened that somebody greeted him before he had the opportunity to greet him. Unochmer, even more, afilu nochri afilu b'shuk, even not even a Jew, a goy, and even outside in the street. In other words, who knows who he is, and so on. Is verstandig. So from this we understand that Allah has come in unser Fall, that how much more so in our case, was the ganev hachin zicha charat egad be'emes, that this thief certainly without question already regrets what he did, keton tshuven, perhaps he even did tshuva of the geneva canal, as we said before, that he already regrets it. Farnem tagreisen or, therefore it's very important afiluzid the cleanse the mosfen zayim bezoyin. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, even the smallest amount of shame is of primary importance, and therefore it's worth giving him an easier sentence because of that. Yud Beis. So that explains why Rashi tells us Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The beer of Rashi is matik Rab Meir's name, Birushai. To explain why the Rashi also quotes Rab Meir's name in Shaychas mit der Svara, Shersha Bittel and Lachta, in connection with the explanation of since the ox was prevented from working, therefore he has to pay more. That Mefashtein Behagdim will understand this by first explaining what Rashi is Eichmatik Farin Gufatam, why Rashi also says, before he gives the explanation, the actual explanation, he says, Amar Meir, Boyerei Kama Godel Keiches Vomalocha. Come and see how important is the concept of work. The work ethic, how important that is. So why does Rashi say that? Why does he have to give this explanation of how important work ethic is in order to explain that an ox, you took away his opportunity to work? Number two, in Gemara state euch by them tam from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai bayirei kama godel kovad abrius. In the Gemara where it talks, where the quote is from, over there it also says, come and see how great is the honor of the people. But Rashi doesn't say over there, come and see, by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, come and see. Favos bringt Rashi erob devet bayirei kama godel nor by them tam from Rabbi Meir. Why does he quote these words, come and see how great is? Only when he explains Rabbi Meir's side. Over there, by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he said, Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, chas hamakom al kvedim shel bris. He doesn't say, come and see how important. Over here, he says, come and see how important. Why here? Gimel, the Ike, the third thing, and most importantly, Vos is azoy grois de chidush biz az Rabbi Meir zokt mit ashturim. What is so novel and such a great, he comes to say something so important that we wouldn't understand ourselves, and he makes this great statement, come and see how important is the worth ethic. It's simply understood, everybody understands, that if you prevent someone from being able to earn money because his ox can do work, that you have to compensate him for that. That is not something which is something that a mayor has to reveal to us with a great big fanfare and a statement. Nochmer, even more, Mahachem Frier Gelerend, we learned already before, in der Sedra, in this very Sedra, Mishpatim, it says over there, Rakshiv Te Yitain, that if somebody harms another person, he has to also pay for loss of wages. That's one of the things that he has to pay for. When Rashi Taj Bitl Malachte Machmas Achayli, Rashi explains that what does Shifte mean? That it means the loss of wages because he was harmed, he was sick. And over there Rashi doesn't come with this great big statement, come and see how important is the lack of work, the loss of work. He just says you have to pay him because you prevented him from being able to earn a living. Why over here does he make this whole big statement? Yud Gimel is the beer bazeh. So the explanation for this is loyd derech hapshat, according to the way we see it from the simple understanding of the psukim, loyd leitzer baseichel. From, if you look at this matter from the perspective of pshat, this doesn't necessarily jive. It doesn't it will not turn out that way in halacha. In halacha, it's going to be different. But when you see it from the simple reading of the psukim, leitzer b'seichel ad bitl areva from aleches asher ved sugirechem to the tashlum fadigeneve, it would seem logical that when you assess what does this thief, what is the value of this ox that the thief stole, it's not just the value of what the ox can be sold in the market. With it would also be included the value of the work that he lost. He had it in his possession for a week, so therefore I lost a week of wages. That's the value of the ox that you have to pay me back for now. Alstakeren, that would be seen as the original value of that ox. And to that, you have to times that by 5 in order to get to what the penalty is going to be. Kishem v'shifte yitein, just like we said before, that if somebody harms another person, as the mazik tzolt far bitl malacha, that the person that caused the harm has to pay for the diminished wages, for the loss of wages, by mazik zayin, I mentioned, when he harmed a person, as he said before, the same should also logically apply that when somebody steals your tools that you do your work with, and now you're not able to do your work and earn a living, if a person steals a gigambit, so he would also have to pay the loss of wages that was caused by his stealing your tools. When Rashi doesn't have to say it over here that this would apply here too, because it's exactly the same reasoning as if you harm the person that you have to pay him for loss of wages. If you steal his tools that he does his work with, you have to pay him for loss of wages. That's from the perspective of Pshat, and Rashi doesn't have to bring it up again because it's obvious. And this would be true not only for the ox, which, you know, you earn your living because he works, he plows or whatever he does for you. Nor Eich by said, this would also apply to a lamb. If you stole a lamb, darv the gan of tzol and fadavaniyas arevach from the involve as vaksteif and se. Let's say the thief stole a lamb and he kept it for 6 months, at which time you could have sheared that lamb of his wool and earn money from the wool that you took off the lamb, and he had it for 6 months. Now you lost all the wool that he had that would, you would have earned from. So that would also be included by a seb, by a lamb, that would also be included in the original amount of what the lamb is worth. It's not only for an ox. So looking from the perspective of pshat, this amount of the loss of wages that he had, that happened because he prevented the ox from working, or the lamb from shearing. Shearing means to shear the wool, to cut off the wool, is already included in the original amount. That has nothing to do with the penalty that's going to be applied. So then what is the bitl malacha that Rashi speaks of over here? Der uftu da is, what Rashi is emphasizing over here is, or what Reb Meir is emphasizing here is, as salib dem was a felba dem balo sher that inyan from alocha, that this is not about the earning that can be gained from the work that the ox will do, but just from the sitting back and doing nothing, not being able to work. Nishblo is the revach, therefore, not just the earnings that you get from the work, but the very concept of the work that should be done, because he prevented the ox from working, and work ethic, it's not about work earnings, it's about the work ethic, that's what we're talking about. For that he has to pay an additional penalty of the full value of the ox. In other words, when a person sits back and he doesn't get the opportunity to work and to fulfill his potential and so on, that in itself has a certain, it doesn't have a monetary value, but it has a certain importance to a person. He sat back for 2 weeks and he did nothing because his ox wasn't available, so he lost that satisfaction that comes from the accomplishment of working. And that's what the Reb Meir is talking about. And the farmers Rashi are upbringing was Reb Meir zog boyere kama godel koyecha shel malacha. And that's why Rashi needs to say this concept. Come and see how important is work ethic, because this is explaining this new novel idea, the concept as the ganav d'abatzon nor emolt nochamol tashlumin kol asher, that he has to pay an additional value of the entire ox and all of its value. Even though he already compensated the owner, he's going to be compensating the owner for the loss of wages that came because the ox couldn't work. That's already taken care of. Now he has to add an additional time, the value of that whole thing, just because he prevented him from working and getting the satisfaction of work. As he said, that the payment for the value of the ox already includes what he the loss of wages, and that's why he has to introduce it by saying something special about the work ethic, and that has value too. Boyere kamagodl keichushul melacha is not about the value of the work, but about the satisfaction and the importance of the of work itself. Doret meveng dechshibus for melacha, we're talking about the importance of the work. Melacha is azay grois unvichtig, that working and realizing your potential is so important and so essential. Aslib dem was mahat sad gefelt bam de balasher dem inyum hamalacha, that because you prevented the owner of the ox from being able to do his work, dav the gan of meisim zaynocha mol tashlum kol asher, the gan of the thief has to add another times the value of the entire ox in order to compensate him just for losing the opportunity to work. Not about the value of what that work is worth. Yud Dalit, a Talmid memulach cannot be refragen, but another, a gifted student can still ask. Does ton melacha mit asher fanem tazman muad beyaser? The time that you work with an ox is relatively minor in comparison to the life of the ox. Sailagav den balabai is both in the life of the person, the owner of the ox, and makolshkin bechayasher, certainly in the time of the life of the ox. Why is that? Zman chrisha is the chol yeser tzvei tzeit nayar. When do you plow with an ox? Two seasons in the year, twice in the year. Nor givisa shoyes batog, it's only during the daylight hours and so on. So in relative to the entire lifespan of the ox, the time that it spends working, plowing and so on, is a small amount of time, is a minor issue in its life. Noch hashayla, another question. The knas from chamisha is the euchen faul von tvachay. When you give the penalty of they have to pay five times as much, is also when he shechted the ox. Va'adarabe does state far mechorei. In fact, in the Torah, that comes even before selling the ox, the fact that you shechted. Therefore, on vibald as the ganav had geshochten them shoyt. And since the ganav, what did he do with the ox? He shechted it. In that case, is kar of lemer, it would be quite reasonable to say, as the shayt is nishroi l'radya, that this ox, why would he shecht an ox if he could sell it as a work animal? Shechting the ox gives you a lesser profit than selling it as a work animal. Why would he then shecht it? Obviously because this ox is no longer fitting, is not strong enough anymore to plow, and that's why it's now shechted for the meat. Because otherwise he would have kept it. It's not fitting for work, because otherwise he would have kept it or at least sold it in order to give it to somebody else to work, and he gets a better price. Therefore, since we're talking about an ox that was shechted, there isn't even work involved. The reason that you shechted is because it can't work. So where is the work? Where is the work for which you're adding another whole value of the ox? This is an ox that you shechted, he couldn't even do any work. The fact brings Rashi, I robbed him, nomen from Bala Memre. That's why Rashi tells you who said it. Reb Meir said it. Reb Meir goes according to his opinion, which he says elsewhere, Chashin Lemiyuta. Reb Meir says that we also have to take into consideration even the minority of cases. Some people only focus on what the majority is, and you make your rulings according to the majority. Reb Meir says, no, we also have to consider what happens in a minority of cases. And the far is the teira cheshesh va the miut von shvarim was meshecht, and that's why nish kuken de gevdem was is eine roi le miut lemach lache. So in other words, to say like this, the majority of animals that are shechted, in fact, it's true, because they can't do any work. But sometimes the ganav just doesn't want to bother with the with selling an animal for work. So he says, let's just shecht it and sell it for the meat. It's a loss, you know, it's not a smart move on the part of the ganav, but sometimes you do that. That's the minority of the cases. That only happens once in a while. So that's a miut. The Torah says, but we're going to consider that case also, because that minority of cases where you shecht the animal, it was able to do work, therefore we're going to charge a fifth time also for the ones that were shechted, because there is a minority of cases in which they were also fitting for work. So that explains the Rashi, in the simple pshat of the Rashi. Now the Rebbe goes on. Tezvav, in the Ibn Davant Memris from Rabbi Yechon HaMazaki and Rabbi Meir, in the aforementioned explanations of Rabbi Yechon HaMazaki and Rabbi Meir, Benegei Dechmira Teira B'Deganav Yosef V'Gazon, where they explain why the Teira was more stringent with a ganav, with a surreptitious thief, than with a robber, a brazen robber, is Oyechda, an Indian Alpipnimus HaTeira. There is also something that you can see from the Chassid, from the inner dimension of Teira, and how this works out. If then was a ganav kaviyochel also ayin shalmatik ilayin eroye, brings Rabbi Yechon HaMazaki drei psukim to show the point that a thief, a surreptitious thief, pretends as if Hashem doesn't see. Rabbi Yechon brings three psukim to bring out the point. One of them is Hayu hamamikim me Hashem, those who go deep from Hashem, lahaster eitzah, to conceal their plans, and they do their work in darkness. In other words, they work behind the scenes, bringing out the point that they're trying to hide from Hashem. And then another pasuk says, they say Hashem cannot see, and the God of Jacob cannot understand what's happening. And another pasuk says, "Ki amru," because they said, "Ozav Hashem es ha'aretz," Hashem has abandoned the world. Ve'ein Hashem reyeh, and Hashem doesn't see what's happening. Three psukim. Shlalsu the frage, so the question can be asked. Number one, what is machriach harabbering psukim from the harpkeit from the osa ayin? Why do you have to bring psukim to show that there is a problem from pretending that Hashem doesn't see what's happening in the world? You have to bring proof from psukim for that. So as svarup should be, it's an obvious thing that if somebody wants to pretend that Hashem doesn't see, that's a terrible thing. You don't need proof from a pasuk that that's not a good thing. Number two, ubefrat drei psukim, you need proof from three different psukim for that. And number three, the question could be asked: Shini Aseda, why he changes the order? The pasuk from Yecheskel, no, the pasuk from Tilim. Why does he bring the third pasuk, which is from Yecheskel? He brings it after the second pasuk, which is from Tilim, in the order of the Tanakh. Yecheskel comes before Tehillim. So the order of the psukim is Yeshaya, Tehillim, and Yecheskel. He should have brought Yeshaya, Yecheskel, and then Tilim. Is there inyam azeh? So to explain it, Do retzich doch vegen azavas gloibt asiz do an ayin lamayla. We're talking about a Jew that believes that there is an eye and Hashem does exist, and he knows that Hashem exists. Nor osakilu, but he pretends as if it doesn't work down here. Hashem is not seeing what's happening here. So how does a person that believes in Hashem come to such a strange conclusion to say that Hashem cannot see what's happening down here? He knows that Hashem exists. What does he mean? He doesn't see what's happening here. I've then brings Rabbi Yechon HaMazaki drei psukim. So Rabbi Yechon HaMazaki brings three psukim to explain this. Was the mid bavaister dem seder ayirid of naganef, through these three psukim he shows the descent, how it devolves lower and lower and lower. The ganef goes from one step down to a next step down to a lower level each time. The erste pasuk. The first pasuk, which he says that they work in darkness and so on, does haste. Hagam, what is trying to bring out is Hagam erves as his daughter Ayin Vazet, even though he knows that Hashem can see. But he he fools, convince himself, since Hashem created light in order to be able to see. Without light you can't see. And this is Hashem's creation. He decided that if there is light you should see, if there's no light you shouldn't see. So therefore Hashem created the same situation, not only in this physical world but in every level. He did the same thing. As ayin roya is nor, ben siz lichtik, that the eye can see only when it's light. But not in a situation of darkness. So therefore, since it's Hashem's creation, it's Hashem's doing that you can't see in the dark, so therefore he applied that also to his own eye, that in the dark he doesn't see. He created that situation. But you know, it sounds like nice words, but does anybody really think that in regards to Hashem's eye there's a difference between light and darkness, that he can't see in the dark? How does somebody come to such a foolish conclusion? So he answers that this comes from an earlier mistake. That this is what's brought out from the second pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai brings. They said that Hashem cannot see. Meaning to say that he doesn't see what's happening down here altogether. Why doesn't he see what's happening down here? Because since Hashem is so great and so exalted, he doesn't lower himself to be able to look at the things that are going down in this down and dirty world. He doesn't want to see what's happening here. He's too big for that. Because he figures in order to be able to see what's happening in the physical world, Hashem has to sort of take on a certain element of the physical eye in order to be able to see what's happening in the physical world. And the Eibishter is doch eine Guf, and since Hashem is removed from anything that would be considered a body, which is a principle of faith, therefore he's not able to see what's happening in the physical world because he doesn't want to take on the dimensions of a physical eye in order to be able to see it. He's too big for that. So the question still is, how do you come to such a foolish conclusion? Still a foolish conclusion. Because, you know, as the pasuk itself points out there, the one who implanted an ear, does he not hear? He's the one that created ears. Can he not hear? The one who created the eye, can he not see? So it's a foolish thing to think that he can't. If Hashem can create a physical eye, so without question that he's not lacking the ability to see in the physical world. I've then bring Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai in the written pasuk. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan brings the third pasuk. Oz of Hashem is the orders that Hashem abandoned the world. Ermeintas the welt is too nidirik for the Meibishni, feels that the whole world is too low a place for Hashem, as also dort gefinnen, that he should be, you know, find himself, put himself into the situation of being in the world. Roma Kogoyim Abaya, as the pasuk says, Hashem is exalted from all of these, from all nations and from the world. When the far is beim recht as azav Hashem saad as vein Hashem rei, and therefore Hashem doesn't want to be here. That's why he doesn't see what's going on here. It's his own choice that he doesn't want to be here. He's too big for that. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai brings the three psukim, and in that order, to show how the person's philosophy gets degraded into believing that Hashem doesn't see what's happening in this world. And that's what Rabbi Meir is also coming to allude to in his parable. As a ganav is bedugma from einavas is leziminus bnei hamelech, that the thief is a person that it's as if he didn't invite the children of the king. Why does he say he didn't invite the children of the king? Why doesn't he say he didn't invite the king? So the reason is because he thinks he's dealing with the children of the king. Und nicht mit Melech alleine. He thinks that he's not dealing with the king himself. Er tracht, als der Eibishter hat mit Zad sein Größkeit übergegeben der Anagos Eilem in der Hand von Mimutzoyim, Bnei HaMelech. He thinks that Hashem is completely removed from the world, and that who is running the world, Hashem handed it over, he delegated the responsibility to some middlemen, and they're running the world. So him, them, he's not worried about it. He doesn't invite them to the party. In other words, that he's not concerned about the middlemen. Hashem is not interested in what's going on. The middlemen he's not concerned about. That's why he says the mashal in such terms, because he's convinced that Hashem is removed from this. There is no inviting the king. He's not even here to invite him. Terzayin. Und das sein in der drei Fannem Zelamata Bezen. These are the three ways, and it goes degrade, it gets degraded each time. Wie die Yetzirah kommt einreden zu Meritzen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way the Yetzirah comes and tries to convince a person to rebel against Hashem. The first thing is the Eshta Eifen is, Vosaretim Ein as Ozov Hashem is Haaretz. First, he convinces you that Hashem has abandoned the world. The Eibishter is Merumim from Welt. Hashem is completely elevated from the world. Al Hashemayim Kevedei, his honor is up there in heaven. When a Gefinzich Nishon Elma Zeh Agashmin, and he doesn't come down into this physical world. Vemele Kenz Teton Kol Eila Ruchacha. Therefore, you can do whatever you want here, because Hashem is not here. He's not concerned about what you're doing here. The Yetzirah is a Chabanish Mistapik Midem Alein, but that's not enough for the Yetzirah. He wants to bring you to a lower level. Valdos is noch nisht ken emes a merida in Eibishtim, because this is not true rebellion in Hashem. Why? Er sagt, dass der Eibishtim gefind sich nisht in Welt, because he's saying, you're not rebelling against Hashem. Hashem isn't here, so you're not really directly rebelling against him. Reter ein nochmer. Therefore, he wants to take you to an even lower level. As lo yira kader Hashem doesn't see it, the Eibishter gefind sich take yehem welt. He acknowledges, yes, he is here. Because Hashem created the world, obviously he's here to maintain it. But then he comes to you with the second thing, he's here, but he doesn't see. That he doesn't really concern himself with what the people are doing, although he's here, but he doesn't really care what the people are doing. Because you're not important enough for him. Aber euch das ist noch nicht kein volle Merida b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. But even this is not a complete and thorough rebellion against Hashem. Why not? Warum der mit ist doch merumen meraimim dem Eibishten? Because by saying this, he's ultimately attributing greatness to Hashem. That Hashem is elevated from the world, elevated from you. He's in the world, but he's elevated from you. He's saying that Hashem's vision doesn't lower itself to be able to see into the world because he is so great and removed from it, and therefore he doesn't want to see what's happening in the physical world. So therefore that's not enough of a rebellion, and therefore it takes you to the third level. That the truth is that Hashem can see what's happening in the physical as well. But there is a difference if it's light or it's dark. In Yonah von Eurek Dusha, what he means to say is, the Eibishter sees things which are light. In other words, holiness, that he sees, that he takes an interest in. Because it's important to him. However, says the Yetzirah, was for a north hotter, says the Eibishter soll sich zukuk und zu Yonah von Cheshach und Eibishter Dusha. What does it mean? Hashem should go look at the ugly, dirty things of klipa, of tuma. There he also wants it. He doesn't want to look at that stuff. Und von dem chilek zwischen eur und cheshach in ruchni is dicken sin. And because there is a difference between light and darkness, between kedusha and tuma, in the spiritual sense. In other words, light and darkness in the spiritual sense, which is kedusha and tuma. And therefore that, says the Yetzirah, evolves also into the physical reality as the Ganav Machta Chilik zwischen Eir and Cheshach. That just like Hashem doesn't only sees light, meaning Kedusha, and he doesn't see darkness, Klippa, so therefore that evolves into the physical reality that Hashem only sees what's light, what you're doing in the light, but he doesn't see what you're doing in the darkness, because everything in the physical reality is and evolves from its spiritual counterpart. So just like Hashem doesn't look at the physical, the spiritual darkness, he doesn't see in the physical darkness either. In Gashmizdigen Sinn, as the Eibishter Zetnis Chazasholem Benazach Ved Getam Machshach, that Hashem, as if, so to speak, cannot see something that is done in the darkness. And that's how the Yetzirah brings you lower and lower into your thinking. Yud Zayin. Noch an inin in dem, Moshe von Rabbi Meir, and another idea in this parable of Rabbi Meir, as in as there is medamed im inin agnevet, so a mishteh that he compares the thievery, this idea of stealing, to a party, that he didn't invite them to a party. Why does he use the imagery of a party to talk about stealing? Is the beer in them? The explanation is Rabbi Meir red doch veng dem zman vemachin gechabdem ganef unem gebrach lebezn. The mayor is describing what's happening when they already caught the thief and he's in the Bezdin, which at that time he regrets everything that he did, as he explained it earlier at length. So therefore, since he already regrets it, so in other words, he is already taking a negative thing and subduing it, and he's regretting it, means iskafia. Which Hashem enjoys that. That's what Hashem enjoys ultimately about this physical creation. That a person takes a thing which is a negative thing and he subdues it and he regrets it and he turns it into something good. That's what he calls a party. That's what Hashem calls a party. That he describes that iskafia is what Hashem enjoys in this world, and that adarabe, and to the contrary, dafke dur dem oifenem fumatamim, and it's only dafke through this type of enjoyment. Hashem has different types of enjoyment. He enjoys a tzaddik too, the great avoda that a tzaddik does, but the iskafia, what a rasha or what a beinoni does, what an average person does, and he has to control himself from doing something negative, or even if he did something negative, he does tshuva for it. That's what Hashem truly enjoys, and it's that kind of enjoyment that v'gam rasha liyem ra, that he enjoys that the rasha on does tshuva on what he did. That he does tshuva from his evil ways and he turns it into light. That's what brings true joy to Hashem. So therefore, that's why Rav Meir describes it as a mishteh, because we're talking about the ganef doing tshuva from what he did, and that's why it's a good analogy to use the idea of mishteh. Und durch dem Mischte, was man macht, it's the Phenomenon, and through this party that we create for Hashem, in the Golos, durch dem Avodah von Iskafia Sitra Achra, by subduing the negative forces, by controlling yourself, and so on, is men Zeichet, since it's Dostan, Shom Yavyasam, we will be Zeichet to the ultimate party, to the party which will be served, Levyasam, Lo Asid Lo Bibukar Mamish, that will come soon, very soon, when Mashiach comes.